It's good to see you. I was off at the district conference this last week from Tuesday, and I got back later on Thursday. Just a wonderful time together with pastors and other, and also lay leaders that were also there from churches. And this was in Butler, Pennsylvania, so also a very beautiful area. Just a lot of encouragement, and just to continue to encourage the church to be the church. You know, as I was listening to Sam this morning, we're talking in Zechariah for the Sunday school hour, and just the importance of understanding that the church is here to be Christ's witness. That's what it is. And there will be a time when that church is taken away and there will no longer be that witness. You know, but right now it's here and we are a part of that. And we'll get into that a little bit more. Today's a little bit different because we'll talk about baptism today. A little bit later on, we're going to have Katrina coming up to be baptized, just to show her faith and commitment to the Lord. And so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about communion as well, but a little bit more into baptism, since we do communion a little bit more regularly as well. So as I was going through these, and just as the Lord was speaking to me, for some reason these words came, beauty beyond imagination. When I read God's Word, and when I see, even listening to Sam, how it's all connected, you know, from the Old Testament to prophets and all those stories, up to the life of Christ and then to His church. It's a beautiful picture to me. You know, it's beauty beyond imagination because it's doing something that no one else can do. No other man-made system could do to bring people to eternal life, saving us from death, from destruction. And it's just, to me, when I look at that, I just say, what a beautiful plan. You know, it's beauty. And I think, when I think of beauty, I think about like these butterflies, but it doesn't start off that way. It starts off that they're this little weird little worm, right? And they go into this cocoon. You know what they do in that cocoon? They start eating themselves. It's kind of grotesque. It's really weird. But then at the end, when they come out, they're cocooned. They're one of the most beautiful things on earth. They're like little flying flowers. And most people enjoy them. You know, like to have them sit on their hands or just to watch them fly around. Joy and I went to a butterfly farm in Malaysia. And they just had hundreds of these, all these different colors and different kinds of butterflies there. It's just God's beauty being shown in His creation, His divine nature. So when I think about that, I just think, you know, how beautiful, you know. I think about us, you know, we're not so nice looking. We can be pretty ugly. We can be pretty unlovely. We can be pretty, sometimes kind of dirty, right? But God is the one that can make us into something very beautiful, like a butterfly. He can change us. That's that regeneration part. When we come to Christ, a whole new thing happens here inside, and it starts to radiate outside. But it's not on our own strength and power, and that's kind of like what we're talking about today as well. So we're going to be looking at these little scriptures, but they're just kind of tied into what's going on. Of course, we talk about baptism and communion. And why are they so important? Well, they're ordinances of Christ, and some people call them their sacraments. They're sacred to the church. And they have meaning in the church. And it's also a command that Christ gave us. And in Matthew 28:19, you know, Jesus said, go, make disciples, and what? Have them what? Baptize. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's a command there. All right? Not just go out and make disciples and baptize them in Jeff's name or Sam's name or Dave or Audrey's name. No, in Christ's name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are His. We are His now. when that happens. Baptism, if you want to look back into history, you know, is something. It was also in the Old Testament. They had some other things going on there. I don't want to get in too deeply on that, but it's just, it's a show, it's a public display of our commitment to Christ. And then also when you go into 1 Corinthians 11 and to chapter 11 and 23 and 26, that's talking about Christ before having a Last Supper with his disciples and saying, remember me as you do this. Remember me as you break the bread and take it. Remember me as you take the cup of the new covenant and drink it. All very special. Now, some people place a little bit more on these sacraments and they think they kind of change things and do things, but really when you look at it, it's just water for baptism. They go to a river here, they go and do this. We dunked how many people in little ice chests in Thailand, you know? No ice in there, but there was water. It could have been ice. It could have been probably pretty nice if it was, because it's kind of warm country over there. But, you know, and then with the bread and wine, well, what did we do? Well, you get little wafers and little, you know, a little bit of juice. It's not even wine. So what is that? Well, all this is a symbol, right? Oops, am I going ahead of myself? Sometimes I do that. I hope this is working. So baptism, communion, going through that. So the sacraments really are just a sign. You know, Augustine says this. He says, sacraments or the ordinance are outward and visible signs of an inward and spiritual grace. And that last word, actually, I should have had it a different color, because that grace is what it's really all about. Without God's grace, we don't have baptism, and we certainly don't have communion. It is His grace. So when you're driving on a road and you see this sign, New York City, Youngstown, or wherever you're going, Pittsburgh, oh, I'm there already. Sorry, it's just a sign pointing to the reality of where it is, where New York City is, where Pittsburgh is. You don't want to worry about Youngstown, right? Jeff is shaking his head. I guess he knows about Youngstown. But, so it's just, there's nothing special. There's nothing magical about the waters, nothing magical about the sacrament, you know, the things that we take, the bread and the wine or the juice. But it's just a sign pointing to Christ and what He has done, His grace pouring out to us. That's what it's about. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, again, we come before You this morning and just thanking You that we are Your church, Your people, all of us who have said yes to You, all of us who have opened our hearts to You. And it's not because of what we have done. It's because of Your grace, Your mercy, Your love that was poured out unto us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless this time together. Lord, may You receive the glory and honor in all these words and all the things that we're doing today, the time of singing, the worship, Lord, the praying, the time that we can have this wonderful baptism, Lord, to celebrate, Lord, and also the communion to remember. Bless these times, and may You receive the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So what is baptism? Let's just, I'm a teacher. Sometimes I have to remind myself, you know, when we're teaching, when you're reading the Bible over and over again, you know, a lot of times the Holy Spirit, you know, if you really invite Him in, open your heart and to open your mind, He will teach you new things or remind you of things that you heard long ago, but you just put them aside for whatever reason. So just, you know, really baptism is a heartfelt response to God's grace. You know, you're walking on this earth, you're walking in your own strength, and you have really no way out of the situations that you're in, especially the ultimate situation of death. Where are you going to go? What's your destiny? Well, in Christ, you have more. You have some future that's even more wonderful than what we have on this earth, that God has set up for us by His grace, His love, His great plan through Christ. So we're responding to that when we finally realize that we are not all it. We're not all what it's all about, you know, but that this world was created by God and is about Him. It's about us coming to Him, being reconciled to Him again, so we can have that relationship like He had with Adam and Eve before the fall, before the first sin. A perfect, wonderful relationship, eternal relationship. And when we realize that, and God, by His grace and the mystery of faith and our choice in that, then we respond. We respond by saying, yes, come into my life, Lord Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior. And so grace, what is grace? It's really kind of a gift. It's a generous gift. It's a free and totally unexpected gift. It is an undeserved gift. All right? We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. Some people want to try to earn it. They want to be good enough. Can't do it. Because God's standards are just too perfect for us. Just like the SATs. You know, you got to get that perfect score to get into that college. Well, I guess you're not going to make it. Because there's a rare few, and really, actually, I don't think anybody really can do it. Maybe they can do it a couple times, but that's just that. But God's standards, even above that, is holiness, which we can never reach on our own. So what is the water about? Well, when you look at the water, and this is the Ohio River, supposedly, anyway, so if you've ever been on that. But the flood, you go back to the flood, there's the water there. You know, what's the water about? Well, it's kind of like a new chance. It's kind of like, it's water is almost representing something like new life. You know, there's the flood coming to as judgment, but God shut Noah and his family in the ark, and they went through that flood, and they survived that flood to have new life, a new start in God. And you look at, you know, when Moses, by God's power, divided that Red Sea to bring the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt through that Red Sea on dry ground, going to the other side, it's like that water is just saying, you know, you're leaving it all behind. In fact, God says, hey, don't turn back to Egypt. Don't go back that way anymore. You don't need to. Go forward. And He had the promised land waiting for them as they traveled. The promised land that He promised their ancestor Abraham hundreds of years before. A good land of milk and honey. So they're passing through those waters. It's like a cleansing. It's like a renewal, a regeneration, a new life, a new chance, a new start. And then as they traveled and, you know, they had their rebellions and all that stuff, God had them walking around that wilderness for 40 years. And then they finally got to this Jordan River and God saying, I think you're ready now. And then He stopped up the waters there. And they passed through to the promised land, to new life, to where their dreams and hopes were for all those centuries, talking about that promised land of God. Do you remember that? Abraham, our ancestor, you know, he talked about this, how beautiful the land is. And God has given it to us. I can just hear the stories generation after generation just talking about that. Almost like what we've done, you know, after every sports game pretty much when the champions win, they say, well, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Oh, we're going to Walt Disney World. You know, I'm going, oh, you know, I haven't even been there yet. I've been to Disneyland. But, you know, there's something they look forward to. You know, you're always, you know, having these dreams. There's something, you know, I don't know what your dreams are, you know, for, you know, where would you like to go? Where would be a dream place for you to go? But these guys heard and heard and heard over the centuries what Abraham told them and what God told him, the promises God gave him. And I'm sure it was like Christmas, as they, you know, something special to them as they heard these stories and they look forward to them. And then if Jesus goes even further, you know, and he speaks, you know, as he is the life. And then these words of Peter, the Apostle Peter, it says really the symbolism of baptism is, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, sorry, I misspelled that, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. Oh, I even made another mistake. It saves you. What time did I do this? It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. It's a symbolism. Nothing magical. I mean, yeah, you can bring some soap with you, I guess, and get washed up. But baptism is really just, it's a symbolic thing saying, God, I know you commanded it. I'm going to be obedient to you. And I'm doing this because I believe in you. I'm putting my faith in you as my Lord and Savior. So when you have that symbol of faith, you know, Acts 28, when Peter again was preaching, right? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. So people say, oh, you have to be baptized to have forgiveness of sins. No, he's not really saying that. He's saying, repent. You know, there's a repentance going on. Change the way you think about your sin. Change it. And go forward, and in that, take your faith, and in that faith, show it through your baptism. That's why we're having our baptism in the morning and not in the evenings, because it is a church-wide thing. It is something that needs to be done right with the church, because it is a part of us, right? It's a part of the church. It's not something extra. It is an ordinance that we must celebrate together. The wonderful opportunity and privilege that somebody shows their faith, their commitment to Christ. That is wonderful. I don't know how many months ago it was in Thailand. They had like 1,000 Thai. And they had, I don't know how many pastors out there in the water, but they're all in lines. And they walk out there, and one after another, they were getting baptized in water. Now, for Thailand, that is an incredible thing. All right, but as we know, and we have baptized other people, you can baptize all you want, but what you do with it afterward, are you really doing it out of faith? Because there are some people that do it just to do it. They're following the crowd. Well, yeah, this sounds good. I'll do it. Oh, and there's a lot of ceremonies around the world, you know, in India and Thailand, other places, you know, they do things like a baptism to make themselves feel better, try to clear the conscience before a holy God that they don't even know. But they're certainly trying to please something. But we have the real thing. When we baptize because of our faith in Christ, there's a newness, there's like an encouragement, not only for the person being baptized, but for the whole church. It gives us energy to say, let's do it more. Let's dunk some more people. Let's keep going for Christ's sake and his kingdom, being kingdom builders, the symbol of faith. So who should get baptized? Well, we know what the eunuch said, you know, when he was riding, and God just arranged that by the Holy Spirit for Philip to meet him, and he talked to him. He's saying, well, who is this scripture talking about? And, you know, and I had to sometimes read it. I'm kind of going, now, who are they talking about here? You know? And, you know, through the Holy Spirit, Philip was able to guide him through that and tell him the good news. And he must have something must have happened in his heart, and to where he said, I believe. Jesus is real. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And then they saw this water. So there's some water. What's stopping me from being baptized? Oh, but you got to do this. You got to do that first. You got to do this first. No, you got to do that. Sorry. It's 2 years from now. Yes, you got to go through this program first. No. Because all this is a symbolism of his faith. It's nothing more. He becomes a Christian because he gets dunked. No, he is a Christian before he's dunked. You can do it any time when you believe. Anytime. Even by anybody here, you know, we brought extra towels and clothes, and somebody just feels, oh, okay, I got to do it now. You know, Katrina's going to be baptized, but somebody else out here might just say, hey, I'm ready. I want to show my faith too. I want to show my commitment. That's how things go. So what is important about it? Well, we've already been talking about it. It's a public act of faith and obedience. We are Christ alone. It's kind of like he's putting that seal, the Holy Spirit. You know, it's already when we receive him, you know, it's almost, it's like even showing it outwardly now, right? And there, that banner, you've heard of that banner, right? You know, I think of a banner when people go to a game and they're just waving this thing around or holding it up going, yeah, 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 you know? And what we have is a banner around us when we're being baptized, and afterwards we're saying, I'm Christ alone. I'm Christ. Not my own anymore. Not so I can still be a Dallas Cowboy fan, but I'm not all them. They're not all me. I am Christ alone. You know, I can be a fan, but there's more to it. And there's an encouragement and joyfulness that comes with it that moves the church to go forward. And we all need that as a church. So baptism, got it? Kind of good little reminders and things like that. Communion, as we see, you know, we know it's significant. It's in that last part of that, Acts 20, says, which he, Jesus, bought with his own blood. Don't forget. There's a price that we can't even measure. Christ died for his church. The institution to be, you know, to where we go around this world, we're a witness to all around us. And then you can bring it down individually. Each one of us has been bought by Christ, who have received him as personal Lord and Savior. And that's when we can come together and remember him as we take the elements of the wine and the bread to remember all he's done. So you have baptism, who, you know, which really is just saying, yeah, I'm Christ. And you have communion saying, I remember what you've done for me. It's just like what we have, you know, Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving and other things, birthdays and wedding anniversaries, all that. You know, we do that to remember good things, to remember God's gifts to us. And there's lots of other things too. You know, the Memorial Days and the Veteran Days, things to remember. You know, and so communion is for us to remember. There's nothing magical about it. It doesn't make you a Christian if you eat the bread and drink the wine or the juice. But it's just a symbolism of his body and his blood that he was broken for us and he shed the blood for us. A new covenant between us, a new and better covenant, a perfect one that God get, that is by grace we are saved alone. Grace by faith. So our response, really simple as this, open your hearts. Open your eyes. Open yourself to God. Get real with him. You know, if you're still holding back, something holding you back, you know, this world puts a lot of things in our way that causes us to not want to take that step forward or to open ourselves to God. You know, and a lot of times it just comes down to that five-letter word of pride. Just can't do it. Just can't do it. But you can. As you really come before God in a humble way, opening your heart before him, and you will hear his voice. As you seek him, he'll speak. You call upon his name, he'll answer. And if you open your heart to him, You'll come just like what Peter did when Jesus did that miracle with all the fish. You know, he was fishing all night and he says, well, put your nets down one more time. He's going, really? He said, okay. And then he pulls up this huge, you know, catch. And he falls at Jesus' feet going, oh, get away from me. I'm a sinner. Get away from me. When we realize we're a sinner before this holy God, that's a good thing. Because then we can start getting real with him and say, hey, I need you. Because I can't do it. I can't get into heaven. I can't jump the chasm between me and the holy God. I can't do it. No matter what I do, what system I use, how many books I read, how nice I look, how many great things I do, can't reach it. I can't build my own bridge. I got to go through Christ. You know, the way, the truth, and the life, as we were talking in the youth connection last week. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, that way, that bridge between us and God. There's only one way. And yes, remember. You know, we need to slow down sometimes. We just need to take some time just to remember all these things, what Christ has done for us. Remember what he spoke to us at first. You know, when you're going through Revelation, that, you know, he's speaking to the churches, and one church that says, hey, don't forget your first love. You loved me at the beginning. And now you're starting to put all these other things up, and you're starting to go this way, you know, because it's easier to follow rules. You know, we just naturally like to follow rules. We like to do things to be able to, you know, I do this, I go up a little bit more. I do this when I go a little bit more. God's just saying, just come to me. Just come to me. Remember what I've done for you. It is by grace through faith that you have been saved. That no man can boast. No man. You know, it's a gift. A gift to us. That gracious, free gift. But it wasn't free because it came at a great cost, right? At this life of his son. Do not allow the enemy to devalue these ordinances or sacraments. You know, when we have the baptism and when we have the communion together today, you know, it's not just something we do frivolously. You know, prepare your hearts. Prepare your hearts and also just rejoice in it. And be thankful for it. You know, the enemy wants us to go, that doesn't mean anything. No. No. He's wrong. He always tries to turn us away from what's really good in our lives. So Ecclesiastes, you know, when I think about something about, you know, talking about God, he has made everything beautiful in its time, including us. Well, maybe on the outside we might be kind of rough, okay? Don, I don't know how you do it in the morning, but when you look in the mirror, I think you probably, you know, maybe we have to talk. Maybe we have to, you know, let's just do that. But, you know, sometimes we do get that there. I know I get up in the morning, I say, I shouldn't be looking in the mirror today. I wish there was something where you can see yourself and not see yourself sometimes. You know, I kind of go, oh, is that you? But God, he doesn't look at that part. He looks at the inner part, hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. He makes us beautiful. I have met so many beautiful people. People of all shapes, all colors, people in wheelchairs, and people, you know, just, you know, the life has ruined their bodies. But they're the most beautiful people inside. You know, the words, their joy in the Lord, and the words speaking the truth of God, and just, you just want to stay with them. You know, you just want to be with them. You know, and just because they just, you know, Christ is, you know, blessing through them. We're like these channels, and he's just saying, you know, stop filling yourself up and turn it over to where the channel's flowing out to others. Well, that's kind of these beautiful people do. You know, they don't hold it in. They don't keep the treasure to themselves like I do at times, I know. But when they turn that channel and it starts flowing out, that's what it's all about. That's when people are touched, lives are changed, and we come, you know, have that beauty beyond imagination. And so we see God's plan coming into fruition in our own lives and the lives of the people around us. So we have this joy of doing a baptism for Katrina Andrews. And we're going to be doing that pretty soon here. Let's pray before we go on, and we'll get that going. Father God, again, we rejoice in you, your word, the hope we have in you, the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ that changes our lives. Oh, how wonderful. You're the one that makes us beautiful. We thank you for that. Thank you that we have such a wonderful future to look forward to and that we can share that with others. Give us the courage, Father. Give us the opportunities. Give us the words by your Holy Spirit to speak into the lives of others. A simple witness from us of how good you are and all you have done for us. And that through those seeds being planted, Father, that you will make it grow into a beautiful, beautiful person of Christ. Use us, Father. May we be these kingdom builders together. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. All of his people say, amen. Amen.